The following podcast contains adult language and isn't suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to Unpressable Defects 176. I am Jimmy Linguini, the most toxic comic book speculator. The person sighing is my co-host, sidekick, Ultra Maximus. You want to introduce yourself? You can do that.
Yeah, hey everybody, it's Ultra Maximus here. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but...
Oh, I have some things planned.
I can see the seven thumbs down.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Anyways, where are we at on this? Yeah, here we go. We were late, and I'm sorry for being late today, but the main reason we were late is... Grass King's got optioned, and I was just too busy figuring that out and trying to get that pulled off my website. So yeah, according to Key Collector, Grass Kings has been optioned by Legendary Pictures, which makes it I think the eighth book that I've done a variant for that has been optioned. So I mean, I gotta say, that's pretty good.
Isn't this the one that also had the Legion of Superheroes cover swipe?
What do you mean?
The Adam Hughes Legion of Superheroes.
No, there were three covers for this book. The regular cover, the unlocked variant, that was by Fiona Staples. And I think there was one other regular cover. And then there was this one, which is the my store variant that I did.
Right. And were there any other store variants?
No.
No. Okay. That
must and it was limited to 1,000, which I think is pretty neat. But I'm trying to get my web guy Scott to pull it off my website. I think they're still up at $6.99 on hiphop.com, but we'll see how long that lasts. But I was pretty excited to hear that. Who knows? I don't know. I was just excited for that.
That's good stuff, though.
But there does seem to be a lot going on this week. Of books that come out, there was Guar, the Rock and Roll Biography. I think it's number 11. That book looked really good. I really like that cover. Mad Magazine 10 came out this week. We've talked about that ad nauseum, so I'm not going to really get into it too much. Captain Marvel 11 came out this week, and in it there's a revelation that Star is the Reality Stone. So I'm not really sure what that means.
What do you mean you're not sure what that means?
Is she Thanos?
No, she's one of the six Infinity Stones. What that means is that Star is actually made from the Infinity Reality Gem.
Okay.
So she's most likely Carol Danvers, as I stated months ago. That is all an illusion. We're probably dealing with Carol's psyche. The character of Star is probably going to be the revamped Carol.
So is Captain Marvel pulling a Joker? She was asleep all this time.
She's not pulling a Joker. I think she's pulling an actual Parallax.
Oh,
remember? Yeah, we talked about that. You and I about that whole ordeal at the end of Green Lantern there, where he wakes up and he's Parallax again. So yeah, it's a weird situation going on with Captain Marvel. Star getting her own miniseries is probably going to have something to do with their big push. But
there's supposed to be a big revelation in the next issue of Captain Marvel. There's like a secret variant that hasn't been revealed yet, where you can't see the face of the character on it. And the other one, she's wearing a mask. So
there's also store variants galore for that one.
Numerous store variants, but this I would say is like the first appearance of her as the Reality Stone. But I don't know what that means. I don't really care either. So
it's kind of a moot point at this point, but still, I mean, the books to have are probably still Captain Marvel 8, 1 in 25, first appearance of her as Star in the Senate format. But then,
I think the Carnage Dies one is pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And did you also know that there's a regular, you know, the regular cover Captain Marvel has a Carnage splatterized version?
Yes.
It's a secret store variant. So out of them all, I think the secret store variant and the 1 in 25 are going to be the ones, if you're speculating on, you should have already had these things and you should be flipping them now.
But also the number one is the first appearance of Star as Ripley Riley.
But nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a 1 in 25. I think there might be a 1 in 50. There's a really hard to find Walmart one.
There's a 1 in 100. There's also store variants for that too, if I
recall. For sure. But I think those books might do well too. I mean, with Kevin Feige apparently taking over Marvel Comics, I think that we're going to see a bigger push towards these female characters and some of these younger characters.
But then if...
So I think that this character might have longer legs now that he's taking it over.
But if it is, if she is, you know, if Star actually is Carol and just a different like persona, like she goes all Moon Knight.
Yeah,
you know, I don't see what the push is for her to have a mini series other than to circle around, have the character come back. But somebody else pointed out that this is not the first time Captain Marvel has gone dark. And it's not. She has gone off the hinges before. So previous volumes of Captain Marvel, as far as I remember.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's other characters that have had that have been like Deadpool had a million different Deadpools. And they're all still, they were all really still Wade Wilson. So I don't know.
We'll but see.
You do make a good point. We'll see how it develops. I think it's still a good character to be looking into. I wouldn't be paying the prices they're going for right now, but I
absolutely not.
If you can find the books, I think they're good to be holding on.
Yeah, you should have picked it. You should have picked those up in the lull that happened after issue 8 was released, before the hype hit back around here at issue 11.
Yeah, right around 10, nothing was going on. And the other big book of the week. Is Spider-Man Unlimited 1, and it has it's the first appearance of Shriek, and that's because Shriek has apparently been announced to appear in Venom 2, and then it also showed up in a Diamond solicitation that Shriek is showing up in Venom 2, so that's confirmed. This book is on fire right now. 9/8 seem to be hitting $200, so.
And that's just absolutely ridiculous for a book with that high of a print run, but the same goes for Carnage's first appearance in ASM 361 with a print run of approximately 400,000.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see where it goes.
You know, people are hungry for good spec, but this is definitely the book that people my age have, if they were speculating on, they got a long box full of these. And they're probably pulling them out and selling them right now. And I'm sure there's some older stores with some back stock that definitely have these in back stock. But they always sell. I mean, all the Venom and Carnage books from the 90s era will always sell.
I have seen a lot of posts of people posting tons of copies of this book being like, oh, I'm finally making some money. But Maximum Carnage does begin here. So who knows?
Well, you know, but I just remember being, you know, a kid with a comic book, you know, pull box way back then, and this thing coming out and me freaking out about how many parts there were and the fact that this was an oversized issue and it was more than regular cover price that I was normally accustomed to paying. It was pretty big, actually.
I got all these texts on Tuesday from my friend, yesterday, saying, hey, you have to come down to my house, hurry up, you got to get down here, because apparently they were filming The Boys like right outside of his apartment.
That's awesome.
So he got there and he took a bunch of pictures, so I'll talk about that for a minute. So it's some kind of crowd scene. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but they did have which had this plaque, so Soldier Boy, who and then there's my friend Andrew with Homelander, so he was there, and they also had these placards, and so if you see Homelander here is with some female character, and this female character, I'm not sure who it is, but Eric Krinkle, who apparently is he adapted the show for Amazon, like he brought it from comics into the TV, he tweeted this a few days ago where it shows the Countess. So one would have to assume that this is probably the Crimson Countess, who is part of the Payback team, who's one of the teams. It's a lot like the Team 7 in The Boys. And Soldier Boy is the leader of that team. So it's possible that these characters are showing up. I guess that's what the push would be for. So I think that these two characters are showing up, and they first appear in the Herogasm mini-series.
Oh, wow. So this circles back around to that spec when they actually joked about wanting to try to do this series.
Well, yeah. So I reread Herogasm 1. Homestar, that's his name, right?
Homelander.
Homelander. He does a big speech in front of the government, and then he goes to an island with all these other heroes, and they have giant orgies. Crimson Countess shows up as a one panel appearance in the first issue, and she has a more speaking part in the second one. But these are their first appearances, so they are new characters for the show, and they are they do seem to be appearing in some way. Soldier Boy, which I thought was interesting, is actually gay with Homelander, which I thought was pretty cool because it's just weird. But yeah, so I don't know if they're going to adapt that or not, but I mean, it's interesting. Who knows? What do you think? What do you think, Sackman?
Man, no. I never read The Boys. I was never really one
of those. How did you never read The Boys?
Because I was out of comics for a while, and you know this. But this appears to be one of those. What the hell is that basing? Is that you? Yeah, that totally was you. That basing noise. That was totally
whatever. You. I don't talk shit about you and all your shitty fucking clicking noises.
Well, that's because my chair squeaks. I'm sorry. But no, the Herogasm books are still something that that I never read. But these things did get hot when they talked about season two already being kind of done and what they were looking forward to doing in season three. So these books spiked right when that news hit. So the fact that they're spiking again with first appearances, that's definitely something good for the people who
I don't know if they're selling, but I mean, these are the first appearances of at least Soldier Boy. And then I'm assuming that female character is Crimson, the Countess Crimson or whoever. Yeah, Crimson Countess. But I don't know. I mean, she's not wearing the mask that she is that she wears in the comic book, but mm-hmm. It's still very possible that that's her.
Well, I would say by the crimson color of her outfit that you may be very correct there. But see, this is what's fun about The Boys for me is the fact that I never read the comic, so I don't know the story already going into it. And watching it for the first time is me being exposed to the story for the first time. So I can
A lot of the characters are like based on other characters. Like the Soldier Boy one is supposed to be the Captain America prototype,
right?
In it. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I get that. You know, I get the parodies and things that they're putting into it, and I think it's brilliant so far. So I'm definitely looking forward to season two.
And they've been filming it for a long time. Maybe they are filming season three right now. Do you think they'd be filming three seasons in a row?
It's Amazon. You never know. They probably could, you know, continue production on season two and then put it in the post production stuff and tell them to continue doing season three. You never know. You know, with these TV shows. But Jimmy, thank you for the update there. That was fantastic. And thank your buddy for the.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been there, and I probably should have went down, but I just said no. And
you probably should have went down there with a couple of copies of these books and gotten some autographs and stuff.
The thing is, I have all these books, and that's what's really upsetting about the whole thing is that I probably should have went down there.
Well,
but whatever. Today was raining, so they weren't filming, but it might happen tomorrow. We'll see. Since we're talking about Garth Ennis stuff, Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. I have an article on comicbookspeculation.com later this week all about this book. I think it's a really undervalued key book. It's Garth Ennis's first time writing the Punisher. It's the first kills the Marvel Universe that isn't a parody book. So this spawned on to the Deadpool kills the Punisher universe, Wolverine, and it's I think it's just a great book, and it's a fun read, and it's been printed, like, it has about seven different printings. So I just think that is a great book that to be picking up, especially with the news that Garth Ennis is coming back on to write The Punisher, I think, in a month or two at Marvel. So I think that's a really undervalued book right now.
I like your Punisher spec lately. It's definitely good stuff.
Especially what other Punisher spec have I? Oh, just
the one, the one where he does drugs, yeah, you know.
Yeah, good stuff. Sometimes you got to read Punisher books, and that's apparently what I've been doing recently. What's going on with X-Men 1? So X-Men came out this week, a new Jonathan Hickman
series. Yeah, this is – all right. So now we're in that Dawn of X launch. This right here is the Mark Brooks Party variant, which I think honestly is the best cover out of all the covers that they released. This is my personal opinion. Art Germ is pretty dope, but the 1 in 500 is definitely out of my reach as far as being able to attain one locally or for a reasonable price. So I'm not going there. But they did include, a pack of cards. You know, did you see any of these cards when you were out there today?
Yeah, I did grab a pack.
You grabbed the pack. Okay. Well, in the pack of cards, if you take a look at some of the next slides that I got there, they have the Krakoan, basically. You know, the language cipher, so you can actually read the messages that are on the backs of these cards, and supposedly there's going to be more messages hidden throughout the Dawn of X books.
So what do they say on the back of the cards?
The alphabet. No, I haven't deciphered the back of the cards yet. I only just scanned them up and put them in. Okay. But show the next slide because it's got all the goods.
Oh,
there you go.
I don't want to have to.
Oh, you don't want to have to do the secret code? What's wrong with you, Jimmy?
Do that for me?
No, I can do it for you, but it's going to happen later. But basically,
what's a U and an E? These are dumb. This is,
So yeah, this will give you a headache and make you have to do actual work and you know, I guess you're more millennial than
this anyone, one's. So. I figured it out. The thing that looks like us is the, but everything else I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, one of the people in chat said it says suckers.
Yeah, the suckers.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty stoked about this, but
yeah, I got the first word on five of them, so whatever.
Okay,
I'm gonna get this code.
It probably says something like the future is now, old man, but you know.
But it shows the team members. On
correct. Yeah. So yeah, we knew the team members. And honestly, I just got to say, you know, out of all the X-Books, X-Men today, I actually like the whole Summers, House of Summers basically thing. But it looks like in the Death of X when, you know, the Inhumans basically killed the X-Men, I guess Scott Summers traded some real estate and got the blue area of the moon. Because that's where they have their base now, and I think it's hilarious. Like he's you know, across from the blue area of the moon from his arch enemies of the Inhumans, who are probably going to be revealed as cousins anytime soon. I'm not kidding, but no. But Cable acts like a young kid, and Kid Cable is definitely around to stay. But there was supposedly a first appearance in this one today, which was somebody who was from the post-human era. Yeah, go to that next one. So show everybody there. There's the goods.
Wait, what's this?
That right there is funny because they arranged all the connecting covers in the actual reading order. So that's House of X and Powers of X in the appropriate reading order, and it's done by connecting variant.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Who's like Black Tom is back according to these lists.
Yes, so Black Tom is back.
He's back in black.
Mm-hmm. But no, I am extremely excited about X-Books, but look at this. Yeah. So last week, Dr. Doom came out, and this guy, Maverick, who when I was, you know, reading this stuff in the 90s, I thought Maverick was cooler. But he gets no love, though. But he appeared first in that X-Men number 5. And he appeared many times throughout the X-Books. And then I had no clue until I looked this up this evening that the dude who's playing in X-Men Origins Wolverine, Agent Zero, is supposed to be Maverick. That's like the dumbest thing ever. But I think Maverick's cool, and he deserves more love than he gets. What's the stuff going on in the chat here?
I'm sorry. I got a text about Grass King saying, like, it's very solid information. And I know how you're into conspiracy theories, but it's solid. I'm like, I'm hoping it's solid information because I have a shitload of copies of that book and I want to sell them. So I don't know. There's a bunch on hiphop.com until that gets taken off. And I put them on eBay too for like 10 bucks. So
it's okay. Who knows,
man. They're great. They're a great book. And I'll probably do bulk sales too. So
hey, can you check the YouTube chat and check out Adam Anthony's last comment there?
Because of X-Men number one, I know what to see aside. You know, shut up. Shut up. Why would I even, like, what is wrong with you? Why would I read that out loud? You are the worst.
No, Adam Anthony has the link too, and he didn't even want to join the podcast this week, so that's disappointing.
Well, yeah, it's because you turned him off last week. Okay, what else? What's going on with Robotech Remix? Why should anybody care about that? I certainly don't.
You certainly don't. Well, so anybody who follows the Robotech series knows that it ended at issue 24, sadly. But then they did this thing right here called Robotech Remix, which actually continues the first Titan series. And now we have a situation where this is basically Robotech Season 2 incorporated into a new timeline.
What does that mean, though?
So, Jimmy, did you ever watch the original Robotech series from the 80s? The Harmony Gold series? No?
No. Then I wasn't really into Transformers either. I thought it was like a ripoff of Power Rangers. But really, it was the other way around. I was just introduced to Power Rangers first.
And isn't it crazy to know that Hasbro now purchased the Power Rangers?
Is it? Yeah, but like, I'm hoping they buy like Hammy the Hamster and they can make a Hammy the Hamster movie. You know what I mean?
Nah, but anyway, so my opinion of this is kind of like my opinion of the IDW Generation 1 Transformers ongoing series that they had and that universe. A modern take on an older idea done well, and that's just what the Robotech series actually is.
So you think people should be buying this new series?
Well, I don't know. Robotech has a strong following, and this is the official endorsed Robotech comic. And it's the first one they've made in a long time. They did a three-issue.
Five covers, and they're all open order.
Correct. And there's actually six covers because one of them is a sketch cover, but it's just got a cover A underneath it.
Hmm.
So there's A through E, and then there's a sketch with cover A.
I don't know, man.
And that's cover E pictured. I always go for the last letter, best art type of scenario, as long as it's not an action figure variant.
I also noticed that you had Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur on your list.
So yeah.
What is this? Is she barbecuing dinosaur on some kind of Fantastic Four trampoline?
Something along those lines. No, so what's really funny about this book and the Powers of X number 5, both of these were actually missing from my pull list, even though they were on my pull list, and I actually just picked them up today. But not really reading through Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur enough, but it's the final issue of the series. And then if you showed the next picture I shared, zoomed in on what it says on the cover. Soon to be an animated series. So we do know, you know, that they're killing this book. So this is the final issue of the series. Issue 47 is the last issue of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. So
go on.
I'm just wondering what the future holds besides Secret Warriors and other small possibilities and directions for Moon Girl's character to go. Because if she's going to be in an animated series, who are they going to put in there with her? And you do recall that she was in the recent relaunch of Secret Warriors again.
Oh, okay. Well, there's been a bunch of different teams that she's been on, haven't there? Or am I just making that up?
I think you're just making that up, but Secret
Warriors. I think she's been on a team, maybe.
Secret Warriors, and she filled in. Her and Devil Dinosaur were on the Fantastic Four for an issue of her book. Good stuff, but she's the smartest person in the Marvel Universe, so there's always that. Oh, you got a bone to pick, huh?
Apparently. Yeah, so big news came out today that Bone had finally been optioned for a animated TV show with Netflix, which seems pretty groundbreaking, mainly because Bone is the number one selling graphic novel of our time. I say of our time, with Scholastics and with it being in so many libraries and being available so many places, I don't see how it wouldn't be like how there could be another book that would have a higher print run.
And how many printings of the Bone number one are there?
There's at least 11 through cartoon books, and then there's like an Image one, and there's a few other publisher ones. So there's a few. And so Bone One is, I guess, it says it's the first appearance. It came out in 1991, but there are like prototype appearances of all these characters in another book called Thorn One. I don't think I took a, I brought that. So, I mean, probably won't be able to find that book because it's limited to 1,000. It was originally sold at the Ohio University Library. Because that's where Jeff Smith went, and it was a newspaper cartoon that had then been collected in a book. So I don't think you'll be able to find any copies of that one. You might, but that book's very pricey. I know there's been one on eBay for like $36,000 for the longest time. There's only really like one graded copy. I know somebody had one for sale on the CBC S-Boards for $5,000. I don't think it sold. So that's a really tough one, but Bone has always... It's been a really tough book.
Grade, how many 9/8 are on the census?
I think there's only a few, and the last sale was last year, and it was $4,000.
That's ridiculous.
So the book is kind of out there already. This is real. If this TV show does end up coming out, it's going to be next level for these books because kids already love the books, so they already love the characters. So I could see this going a long way.
I absolutely agree, but man, I remember when I was still working at the comic shop and took one of these in a collection. it didn't even make it 2 hours before it was sold again. I mean, these are the types of books that hardcore collectors, when they see these things, they want them instantly.
Well, I finally sold this. It's the Bone Sourcebook 1. It is 8.5, signed by Jeff Smith. It sold for $50, so whatever. But and it came out like after Bone 21, so who knows.
So what's the significance of 21? Is that the where the print run started getting high? Or
I don't know. Who knows? All I know is Bone books have always been popular, and this has been a long time coming.
And did you send Adam the link?
Well, Wilco's here. Wilco's here again. Huh. Let's see what Wilco has to add, if anything.
Welcome, Wilco.
Hello, Wilco. Oh, okay. Again with that. That's cool. But yeah, so I don't know. I think that's pretty big news. I think this might be the biggest news of the year, honestly. But
it may very well
that's
be.
what Nico told me this morning. He said this is the biggest news of all time. I'm like, okay. So, and then yeah, Sleepy John was the one who said, well, don't forget about Thorn. And I didn't think I should write about it, but they told me I should. So
let me just give a shout out to the guys on your Comic Book Wars podcast. They are two very talented individuals. I'm very glad that they like to share knowledge. You too, of course.
Yeah, no, I'm the worst one on it. But yeah, so this is the 1982 comic strip from Jeff Smith that shows that it's like an early Bone prototype. But whatever, it is what it is. I don't know. That's really all I had though, like prepared. Was there anything else you really wanted to talk about?
No, man. I mean, it's a light week for comics, or the last 2 weeks for me. But yeah, let's go to the chat.
Gary Nasser is saying that Lemire has updated Essex County in 2020. Black Hammer being developed as long-term multi-show. Yeah, no, I know about Essex County because when I sold the cover art that I had for Descender, I sold it to a guy who worked at the CBC, and he's the one who told me that they were working on Essex County. I will just say this right now. I don't expect any spec to be behind that at all because, again, it's for the CBC, and the CBC is garbage. So it is what it is. Blind Adam's here too. But, I mean, Black Hammer being developed as a long-term multi-show universe, I thought we knew that. But that is actually pretty exciting too. Blind Adam, are you there? Okay. Interesting.
Give him a minute. Give him a minute, because I'm sure he's in there. But you know what? There were some things that I had saved. I hear a microphone tapping.
Okay, go on. I'm listening.
Was that you that just got electrocuted by your microphone?
Could be. What if you hear me yelling at you about every sound you make? Like, what is this? What is this?
Oh, so what about the news where Zoe Kravitz was, cast about Catwoman? That big news too?
Like, I don't think it's big news. You think it's big news?
Yeah, I think it's kind of big news because Jonah Hill's out now because apparently he wanted more than Pattinson did for Batman for him to play a certain role. I mean, I think that's kind of news for this week too, that he exits whatever role he was circling. The other news that I think is important for people to take note of is that Ryan Reynolds had a meeting over at Marvel Studios and has confirmed Deadpool 3 is going to happen.
But yeah, Rob Liefeld said he's still like he's suing Marvel or something.
No. In a tweet that has now been retracted, he was going to have to take legal action because something was being done to try to circumvent his royalties because of his negotiations with Fox. So basically what it comes down to, and this is pure speculation on my behalf of trying to make sense of everything. If Rob Liefeld did a contract with Fox and then Fox got purchased by Disney, and it has to do with how much royalties he's paid for the Deadpool movies, and Disney in any way tried to renegotiate or let's just say have a talk a la Spider-Man with Rob Liefeld about how much he was getting paid, they were probably trying to pull something on him to where he wasn't going to get his just desserts. Because now that Deadpool's in official MCU, if there is any creative, well, we know that Newsarama tried saying that Rob Liefeld quit Marvel, and Rob replied to them and was telling them how, it's not true. I have a lifetime contract with Marvel, and that is actually true. He has a lifetime contract, so he can work for them forever, and he's going to get paid royalties on the stuff that he created all in all of his characters since the 90s. So regardless, he's you know, he's a businessman, and I can't say I blame him for that. You know, he basically attempted to trademark the characters he created at Marvel and get paid for it. Do you see fault in that?
I mean, not, I don't know. Not really.
Well, I think everybody should check out the Newsarama article on Facebook that pertains to that. Because basically there was a whole bunch of people trying to throw shade at Rob, and Rob was kind of trolling them pretty good. It's very interesting reads.
Yeah, he's not really a good troller. He's not good at a lot of things. But who knows?
That's a matter of opinion. Hey, Blind Adam, you there?
I'm excited for the HBO Watchmen. I think that comes out this weekend, I think, right? Maybe, I don't know.
I believe so. I believe it does.
I think I'm going to Buffalo, though, this weekend. I think I'm going to some shitty Buffalo con.
Was that Nickel City?
No, it's another con in Buffalo. So that will be happening, I think. Who knows? I think I don't even know what it's called, honestly. I know very little about it, and my friend Wes tried to convince me not to go. He set up there, and he tried to convince me not to go. So who knows? Who knows?
Why wouldn't you go?
I think it's called the Buffalo Cosmic Comic Toy Show Fall Edition. So huh. I don't know. It's at it's at the Shrine Center. So it's going to be garbage, I imagine, but I'm excited for it. We'll see. Yeah, it's at a lodge. It's at a Shriner's Lodge. So, I mean, it has great show written all over it.
Well, I want to reply back to Gary Newser. He said, what's the Catwoman spec, though? Honestly, the only Catwoman spec would be, Batman number one? Yeah, Silver Age stuff. And Adam Hughes Catwoman covers. Those are the only ones that actually still sell.
I guess. Who knows, man? But I don't know. I think this was a good podcast.
I think it was all right. And then let's see. He's also talking about Absolute Carnage being fatigue level. And are you buying any of those, Jimmy? Because I mean, I bought the Codex variant for Immortal Hulk just because, you know, it's a Keown variant. I can see a little bit of movement on Blind Adam's side. What's up, Blind Adam? You with us? he's there.
You're too much on this, too much. I thank you everybody for joining us. Again, I thank Ultra Maximus for co-hosting once again. We'll probably try to do the same thing next week. But yeah, we'll catch you next week. Unless we're just going to talk shit. I could talk shit for an hour, but I don't really know what the point of that would be.
About what?
I don't know. I might save it for next week. I might just I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to save a big bunch of shit talking for next week. Because I think that's what we've got to do. We got to move this podcast into more of comics and shit talking, because that's what everybody wants now. People think they could just send me messages and say things I'm doing are very toxic, and I don't disagree with them, but that's where it's going. Dan Percy told me that too, right, Dan?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So I mean, it is what it is. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, I just entered the broadcast studio. I'm very excited. I'm waiting on the word from you guys to tell me what's good.
Is there anything else you think we should talk about, or have we touched on everything this week?
Did y'all talk about Bone yet?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I missed that. God damn it!
I think that's it. I think that's all we had for this week. Right. Yeah, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Dan. So we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks again for tuning in.
Bye. See y'all.